A couple of things just to catch up on. I mean, one of the we wasn't able to do last month, but one of the things that I've been doing, I mean, in just through social stuff, I've been doing more stuff with my boys, Sam and Clark and Tom Beret. They come down. We do a thing at our beach once in October where they come down for 4 days. We play a lot of tennis, dinner and drinks at night. Telling you, though, and I was telling Dave a lot, I mean, this you cannot replace that one-on-one.
Oh, no.
Being together. And it really solidifies the relationship. And it's just, you know, but as Dave even observes, I mean, it's even more than a business. I mean, it's a friendship, which is cool. So, you know.
Well, you know, that's what I've always said, that center. I mean, this was something I didn't understand initially. This concept of, you know, you really, in order to really have centers of influence and to get them to really refer to you, you need to become friends.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, this idea just, you know, I'm going to call on this guy, you know, 4 times a year and he's going to give me referrals. It's just, it doesn't happen, guys. They're friends with somebody.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. And so they're going to lean towards those friendships to give their introductions. And so you got a choice. You make friends or you make, you know, if you went to Penn State with them, great. You know, then you got whatever it is to build that tennis.
Yeah.
You know, the same church. You know, the same synagogue, I don't care what it is. Find something where you have things in common and then build those centers of influence from there.
No, it really is. And then I was at a wedding this past weekend up in Boston. And so I naturally went a day early, met with Sam. We went out together. We played tennis. Stayed at his house. His wife, you know, had a beautiful meal together. I mean, so I've integrated with the whole family too. But it's so cool. And then even at the wedding, there was some people that, our buddy John Hogan from J&J guy who has he has a lot of his stuff away from us, but has money here. He's crazy. He retired, but he's now running a consulting firm and is crushing it. And even his wife was saying that, yeah, this is his retirement. He doesn't slow down. So after a few drinks, he said, you know what, Rick, I got to start paying more attention to mine. We're going to connect, you know, with you. But that's his old line. You know, we're going to connect, but he isn't paying attention to his shit. So he's busy running these other businesses and everything else like that. So hopefully I think we'll see. I mean, but we had some fun together, but we had one-on-one time, which we never get together because he lives in Arizona and all the other crap. And, anyway, it was just good, but the personal one-on-one things, and I guess we've all missed through COVID, are making a big difference. And anyway.
You know, one of the things to do with somebody like that is to get him to refer you.
Well, we're going to see. He did refer. He asked if we knew some estate attorneys in our area, not in Newtown, but in there. So we did the connections and we gave him some names. In fact, Dave, I'm going to follow up with that guy today.
Yeah. Mike.
Mike Mills. Anyway, and then at the wedding, the head of this guy's firm was at the wedding and I was talking to him. I said, hey, by the way, you know, we've been doing some work with your guy Mills and, he was very pleased about that. So, I mean, we just solidified a lot of connections. But anyway, so Hogan referred a friend of his who probably is in a similar situation. And just for estate planning for the end of the year stuff, you know, with everything going on. And he did engage with one of the guys that we referred him to. So we're going to do a follow-up call with him today because we have another client. But John said, after he gets that done, I want to make an introduction to you. Now, John's been a lot of talk. He hasn't been a lot of action.
See, that's why I'm kidding you a little bit. But when you get a guy like this, you just hammer him for introductions. Cause he's got them.
Yeah.
And he's playing big time with you guys, right?
Yeah.
I'm big, you know, you got to chase me around and, and you go, hey, I love you. How about, you know, and just get introductions from him. And then he'll be like jealous of the time you're spending with his friends. And then he'll do more business. Well, I'm telling you. I know this guy.
It can't, well, I'll go with that because it can't be anywhere. He's like, you know, keeping us on a leash. Every once in a while, he'll call when he needs something.
You take my word for it. You hammer him for introductions.
All right.
John, I know you're promising us a lot of things. We're good with you, just the way you are. What we want is introductions to, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would be on him like a cheap suit and just because what do you got to lose? Nothing.
We have nothing to lose.
You got nothing to lose. He's doing nothing but stringing you along. So you just hammer him for introductions.
Well, it's funny because his wife is the one who's like, so all, you know, with their circle of friends and our mutual circles of friends at the wedding last weekend, she was the one, oh, this is Rick. He handles all of our investments and stuff like that. She's the one, like, but John only, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. But maybe that's the answer. We haven't been able to crack that egg yet. And his thing was, I haven't had a chance. And I think we could see his other outside assets. And Dave, doesn't he have like $10 million in cash?
Oh, yeah. It's like crazy.
Something like that. I mean, just he's been sitting in cash for like the last 2 years. I mean, he has enough money invested, but he's still sitting on a ton of cash. Hasn't done shit. Whatever. Anyway, but I guess the point that these personal one-on-one, spending time with, having a drink with, playing tennis, all of those things just deepen the relationship. And, which leads me, we have, I think I've told you, we do a Christmas event or a holiday event every year. And it's really well, everyone loves it. We have a local choir from our high school that comes. And I had it, you know, obviously we couldn't do it last year, but we teed it up for this year. And then recently though, Ted and Emily are getting a little leery of it because UBS has some rules. We can only have 25 people in, you know, gathering, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to have like 100, 75 to 100. And it is, you know, indoors. But it's a UBS thing. Now, they were originally, Ted said, oh, good. Yeah, we're in. And then now they're sort of getting a cold feet.
What do you mean it's a UBS thing?
UBS rules about having
a client. Yeah, but is it a UBS? Is it sponsored by them?
Well, I'm sponsoring it. It's all me.
Yeah. So it's a cocktail party for your friends.
Right.
But it's out of UBS.
I'm not asking any money. I'm funding it 100%.
Right.
But
it's out of UBS what?
Huh? Well, I don't know. You know, you guys, you're the management guys.
It's at a UBS facility?
Well, yeah. It's at the office, but UBS doesn't own the office, right? It's not in the actual UBS, like, it's in the building, right? The UBS doesn't own the building. They own the office space within the building, and it's not in the actual office space. It's in the lobby of a building that UBS doesn't own, and no one sets foot.
We have a very unique office. It's a three-story open foyer, and on the second floor overlooking the bottom, which we decorate, we have caterers, we have bars set up. And then the choir gets on that second floor balcony.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me.
Anyway, but the landlord who owns the building said, no problem, don't worry. You know, we're cool. But it's because UBS, it's me, UBS, because we're putting UBS, you know, Rick Rogers, Dave Ostrom, sponsoring this holiday event like we've always done. They're just getting cold feet now. So we have to make a decision this week if we're going forward, but I'm going to talk. Emily is, you know, looking, whatever. I guess they got concerned. They did a golf event a couple of weeks ago and somebody got COVID
People are sucking it up, Rick. People don't care.
I agree. That's why
I went to an upstate. I mean, these are all my closest friends, right? We got 14 of us get together in upstate New York. Place called Glenmere, you know, yeah. and 6 of the 14 got COVID.
The weekend?
Wow.
But you know what? So what?
Right.
You know what? It's, you gotta go back to life.
Right. I agree. And I guess if anybody's uncomfortable, they won't come.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I was at a wedding, 200 people at the wedding. I didn't see anybody wearing a mask and nobody was afraid, you know, they didn't have restrictions. And, that was up in Massachusetts, which is even tighter than Pennsylvania. But anyway, so, well, that's what I'm going to appeal. Because I guess it's a local issue, but it's there, you know, it's a UBS. We have a rule of 25, you know, in a gathering and stuff like that.
So, maybe you can just gather them into four pods of 25.
Yeah. I agree because everyone's looking forward to it. And we're going to have to make a decision now within, you know, a week because we send out save the dates and now we're sending out the actual. And with the save the date, we put a disclaimer on it saying that, you know, health and safety is a paramount, blah, blah, blah. But I
people
would
are sick of it.
I agree.
People are sick of it.
Right.
I mean, they know they're, you're going to Penn State game. You know, you got a chance of getting COVID.
Yeah.
You've taken all the precautions.
Yeah.
If you get sick, you go in and get an infusion or you get these pills or, and,
right.
And you're not going to die now.
That's
right. The difference.
Right. So
my friends got sick, but they went and got the infusions right away and boom, they were
right.
Fine.
And they're fine. But again, everyone is making that choice saying, I'm going, you know, I know the risk, but it's not that bad. We're not going to die from this. And I agree 100%, but now it's just that's again, this is what Emily was saying last week, right before I left for this wedding. And then we're going to discuss it this week about finalizing it because I guess they're getting cold feet. And Ted was all in. Ted said, yeah, we're doing it. And now we'll see. So I'm going to talk to Ted directly too. Anyway, corporate. Anyway.
Speaking of so that.
But that would be, I mean, talk about solidifying relationships. That is a huge one. Huge. Everybody loves it, talks about it, everybody, you know. So we'll see. That's December 2nd is when we do it. And we'll have to, like I said, we'll finalize it this week. But that's what I'm going to tell those guys. I said, what a unique opportunity. If anybody's uncomfortable, they won't come.
Yeah.
We're starting our first 5 Supernova Scholars. So you guys ready for an intern?
Is it a black?
Yeah, we're working with Norfolk State. We're having our first 5 scholars and, we're going to start their training. They're going to get trained for sophomore year. We're picking up 10 athletes, like the number one girl in North Carolina. She's black. She's going to Norfolk State. She lives in Winston-Salem and she's a hot shot 4.0 student.
Wow.
And wants to get in our business. And so we're going to give her a scholarship, internship, training, get her to be a CFP. This is what Dave, we were all talking about this.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's happening.
That's awesome.
I'm going to just need some support in terms of internships. And then, you know, eventually, hopefully you guys, somebody hires her, but you know, it's the same thing that you went through, Rick. It's the once you get past you guys,
yeah.
You get into the politics. Oh my God.
Yep.
It's insane. Well, we're going to do that ourselves. You know, good. Okay. You're not doing it. Well, yeah, we're going to though. You know, so
right.
We don't need you, Rob. Well, yeah. We're not waiting anymore. We're
good.
We're plunging ahead and we'll find them a home. So if somebody's from Philadelphia or that area, I'll call you and we'll see if we can. We can place, you know, especially if it's a tennis player. That would be awesome for you guys.
Well, definitely. And, that is good because UBS is saying, you know, they have somebody, you know, they have a department. So, because obviously everybody has to have a representative in each one of these DEI areas to do these things. And now we even have a sports guy, and you know, he's African American, but his sports entertainment division, stuff like that. But you know, Emily, yeah, she was supposed to reach out to them about, cause doing the Breitbart.
Yeah, Emily was all fired up about this program, and then she went one level up. And you get into the head of diversity, and then they go,
yeah.
They kill anything that they didn't create, you know?
Well, that's probably right. Anyway, well, that's awesome. I think it's great. It's, you know, you start small in whatever it is. You just keep moving
forward. We're just going to start small and we'll have a great, great training program. We'll train them on Supernova. We'll train them on technology, train them on financial planning. And then we'll go from there. You know, we'll see what happens. I think it's very exciting. You know,
that is very exciting. And just to watch it as, you know, coming from the ground floor and getting it off the ground. And then you'll see the interest once you have it going and that everybody else is struggling with getting it.
Right. And they're dying for candidates, right? Any diverse candidates immediately, you know, everybody wants them. They start dying for any candidates and then talk about diverse candidates. So we're going to have. We'll do great. I mean, I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. So one of the other things I think we told you, Emily now is basically running two offices here in Newtown and our Conshohocken branch too. So she's been stretched thin in the last 2 months. And I think they're finally getting an admin person for her to help out with some of the stuff.
Does she have a manager in each office or is she managing both?
He's the manager.
Yep.
So
but she just took on twice as much work with same money, probably.
Absolutely.
You know the deal, Rob. You know the deal.
I know the deal.
Poor Emily. But they finally
got her. She doesn't have no sales manager either, right?
Nope. Yeah. She is it. She's it. But she approached me. They had a little get together for some of the Conshohocken and Newtown people maybe a month ago. And we had a dinner. And again, meeting people. So, one of the guys, Emily has one person in that office that she thinks is perfect for Supernova.
Really?
Oh yeah. But you know, I would say Dave knows him because he's worked with him when he was planning, but this guy I think is a nice producer, but he's scattered as your term is. He's all over the place, right, Dave?
Oh God. Yeah. Beyond all over the place. Yeah. All over the place.
So Emily feels that he'd be ideal as a candidate. Now he's reading your book and Emily gave him the book and I told him, I said, if you'd like to just be on one of our future calls, I'll introduce you, have it in it. So maybe on the next call, Rob, I talked to him. He seems like a really good guy, but he's definitely scattered. Again, former athlete. What did he do? He played football, Dave?
Played football, Villanova, yeah.
Okay. And he seems to be like, you know, I think he's a connector. He connects people and does things. But he's literally all over the place. So Emily said, we got to get you some structure. She said, look at Rick and Dave. But she said, you know, has this thing. And
sole proprietor?
Is having a life, having a quality of life from doing.
Is he a sole proprietor?
Yes, and Dave, is he? I mean, he just brought on somebody.
I don't know. I haven't talked to him or worked with him for 5 years, so I don't know what his situation is.
I mean, definitely sole proprietor, but I think he's bringing on somebody as an, you know, full-time assistant that he wants to do, you know, have as, I told him how Margaret handles all that stuff, because I think, you know, again, he's scattered. So, good guy, but maybe on the next call, if you don't mind, we, you know, have him just introduce to the program.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
And, you know, but
I'm happy to do a separate call too.
Oh, okay. I'll tell Emily.
Yeah. Just seriously, you know, an introductory call is fine. I'm happy to do that.
Right.
If you want to.
All right.
You know, if you want to,
I was hoping that if Emily was on the call, I was going to bring it up. You know, I told her about that, but I think maybe that might be a better one. You could do a one-on-one with them, just to tell them about the program and stuff like that.
So is Emily the right one to introduce me?
Yeah. Well, because she's now the director.
She's the branch manager,
for that. And she obviously, because she knows that, you know, we're working together, and she's the one that approached him about getting, you know, Supernova as the answer. And I think for him, it was simplify his life, get back his life, quality of life. He's got three kids. He's around, I think he just turned 50. So he's at that point where he needs to do something.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's just another aside. Okay. So Emily is now, yeah, she's taken on a lot. And hopefully this admin person will at least give her a little bit of time because she's doing too many things.
So she didn't even have an admin person?
No.
She had a secretary.
I mean, she would pick some people. Sometimes Margaret would help her. Sometimes our person here would help her. And yeah. Well, this is the only thing, Rob. Sometimes, you know, UBS has been such, you know, cutting costs like crazy. And that's the one thing. And we have other friends like, people are always talking, and like Morgan Stanley's spending a lot of money on everything, and they're always, you know, trying to poach a little bit, and I always ignore them. But, you know, there is one of it. They're spending a lot of money, and they have, you know, they're doing some good. I guess you work with Morgan Stanley, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I think it's an interesting time. You know, firms have, you know, my old firm, Merrill Lynch, has just been poached like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, they got to wake up.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah.
It's very easy to go independent now. You know, you can, there's a lot of people out there. It's not even firm to firm anymore. It's now firm to independent or firm to firm. Now you got much more competition.
Yeah.
You got the price of, for you. And you know what happened was it's all this private equity companies, you know.
Yeah.
They put a lot of money behind these, like Rockefeller and those guys. They get a lot of money behind them. Jim Dixon, my old guy that worked for me, started a company in Indiana. And
so they're all doing that, Rob. It's all the kind of like former kind of big wig managers of the Merrills and the Morgans, and they kind of become, let's say, senior leadership founder, you know, and they do a lot of the poaching. They have a lot of relationships. They understand the business, and they say, why are you giving half your money to Morgan Stanley or Merrill Lynch or UBS? You know, we have a platform. We have technology. We have the resources, and, you know, you keep whatever it is, 80%, 85% of the money you make.
Or you're an owner.
Yeah. And you get a lot. I think that's a lot of ways that they've poached like bigger teams. They've offered them, you know, equity stake in a growing business. On top of like, hey, you'll get a higher payouts and stuff, but now you have equity in a growing platform. And I think that's been the big ability to poach. It's like, hey, your retirement plan isn't anymore, you know, selling your book is also a part of it, but an equity stake in a growing business is now a way to, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So Rob,
one
of the things though, maybe we could have as future discussions, because I'm not a young chicken anymore. And I just turned 66. And my peers are all thinking about retirement. I still not, and Dave knows this. I mean, I am not, it's not on the horizon, but within the next few years, I really have to start thinking about that and what's next. And now we have a program called Alpha, which means it's basically turning my book over to Dave. And it's a transition program where I get compensated, over that time. And, you know, I'm still allowed to work for a couple of years. And then after that, you're just phased out, but I guess you get paid out over 5 years based on your book and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure you're familiar with that stuff, but I have not engaged in that yet, but I have to start again doing my own planning, you know, when is the time to do that? But here's my thing. Every time I tell somebody, I actually love doing this, Rob. I enjoy the interaction with my clients.
Why do you think I do this for free?
Yeah. But I'm sure, you know, it is
cool. You get paid.
Yeah. But even even if I wasn't, I'd like doing this stuff right now because I enjoy helping people, and that's why you are. I think there's a similar thing there. You get so much gratification out of helping others and seeing them. So it's, that's what I have to start to get my head around and start thinking along those lines.
Here's the game. You know, you remember guys from my first book, Tony Singh, right? He's 60 now, and he's, you know, Tony was a brand new kid, right? Yeah. I hired Raj Bhatia. He's 40 years in the business, and I hired him in 1981.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, that's what's happening with my clientele, you know, my guys. Well, so he had the exact same question. He said, you know, I got like four different things I can do, you know, four different routes I can take to to turn over my practice. I said, Tony, stop thinking as much about how you're going to leave. That's not what's important. I said, think about where you're going to.
Right.
That's much more important. I always called my retirement from Merrill Lynch as my graduation. Yeah, think about it, right? People call it retirement. When you think of retirement, you're retiring to nothing, right?
Yeah.
Well, think of it as graduation. What have I learned in the last 60 years? And how can I apply that to do something that gets me more excited than what I'm doing now? Okay. And if it is nothing, then don't rush into it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's why. So I still am motivated. I'm excited to come to work. It's not like I dread it. We were just with a client, Dave and I, last week talking to a client who just said, oh my God, he works for Siemens and they've been doing restructuring and he's in the HR area. So he's the head of the US HR. But he just said, I don't know if I could do it. He goes, what does my plan tell us? What if I leave a year or now? Can I do that? He's pretty much.
He's done.
Well, but so we showed him when we said, look, here's your option.
He's praying, Rob, he's praying for a severance package. That's like, yeah. It'd be great if they paid me to go away. He's like, I would quit tomorrow. But if they can kind of push me out the door and I can get a severance for a year, he's like, that would be like the holy grail.
So, you have no idea that what HR directors have to put up with.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, they're international too. I mean, he spends a lot of time in Europe but he doesn't want to travel. But anyway, he said he agreed. He goes, I think I could put up with it for a year unless he gets a severance package out of the blue, which he doesn't think they'll do. But, and I told Dave and when I'm talking to friends, I don't feel that way.
No. Well, that's because you like your job.
I love it. You know what it is? I love the engagement with my clients and the people we work with. And I don't know obviously if I retired, I'd be playing more tennis. I mean, would I? I mean, because of this, Rob, I'm able to play tennis and still go to the beach and do all the other stuff that I normally do, which is kind of crazy because again, I think we have a work-life balance because of Supernova, which helps it a lot.
Right.
And, I know Dave's, Dave's been great too. He knew coming in. I said, I'm not ready. And he said, whatever it is, you know, I'm not ready to roll out of here, but we have to start thinking about it. And,
it's a good conversation and it's, your clients want to hear that it's the same as the CEO of a company, you know?
Yeah.
Work for Disney. They're going to be asking the same questions. How long are you going to do this? And you give them a timeline and you can vary from it a little bit, but you should probably plan on it.
Yeah.
And that gives you time to get ready. So I retired when I was 60.
Wow.
I've been doing this for 15 years now.
Wow.
16 years. Okay. 16 years of Supernova. Think about that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but with Zoom, it's so much more fun than it used to be just with conference calls.
Right.
You know, yeah. I get my juice from The most fun was coaching and being an office manager and being a district director, because my pool was big, but I could still spend time helping you grow and then seeing you grow and frankly reaping the benefits of that, in the sense of not the economic benefits, the psychic benefits of seeing my work turn into something that really benefited somebody else. It's like having a coaching a team and watching your team win. Now I coach teams, unlike, you know, you guys, I have, thank you for so much for keeping me around and watching you grow and develop. And I get to watch you win, right? Yeah. But with most teams, I think about a coach that comes in, coaches the team up, gets them ready, and then leaves, and they go play and they win the games. Right? Yeah. Wait a minute. That's no fun. So that's the part I miss. It's really the only part. I don't miss the travel. I don't even miss the meetings. You know, that were fun, but I don't miss them. The fun recognition meetings and travel all over the world.
Yeah.
That was great. I thought I'd miss that. Nah, not so much. What I really would miss, you know, what I'd really love still to be able to do without, but I wouldn't want to do the politics.
Yeah.
But I love being a manager, but it wasn't being a manager I loved. I loved the coaching. And so that I can see, so, I took the greatest part of what I loved and I still do it. And that's what you want to try and think about.
So what we were, Dave and I were kicking around, I mean, I think the ideal one, but I think what this alpha program that they have with UBS, that, you know, after, you know, you're only allowed to really be in for 2 years and then you're out. I would, like we talked about, I wouldn't mind just hanging around. I think they do have something called emeritus, but I don't know all the rules of that. To sort of still have your foot in the game, not as an employee of UBS, but still part of this team. And be the advocate for now Dave and the business growing forward, that when I'm playing tennis and making my connections.
Well, think about how great a thing that would be for Dave.
That's what I said to Rick from the get-go. It would be the biggest win-win, especially because Rick enjoys, and I think it all just works. I would say, and I know Rick enjoys the job itself too, but like, I love the markets and going through analytics and data, and Rick loves probably even more so. And I love the relationships too, but Rick is like the relationship. So we work really well when we get on our calls with clients, but people love, cause Rick has all the history with all these clients, you know, talk about, you know, back in the day, they talk about old war stories of first stocks they bought back in the '90s or the '80s. And you know, those types of things are just, it's imperative to keep that going, right? And having that, those relationships, and having Rick as involved as he wants to be. But even from a social, he loves the social stuff, like doing the lunches and the tennis stuff and this and that with clients. Even if Rick's not physically in his office every day, you know, running performance reports and sitting in meetings, you know, that he can still do all the social stuff and be an advocate for the business, and get compensated for it, right? That's, you know, and that's, you know, that's, I think he, how do you structure that is really the question.
And Rick, I would think about blending that with a passion to, like I'm doing with the Supernova Scholars.
Okay? Yeah.
Think about where would you like to go with this, with your knowledge and your abilities. See, I'm involved with boards and things like that. And they're okay.
Yeah.
Right? They don't need me. They could replace me with any other executive, right? Maybe I know a little about the market. Maybe I can keep them from making stupid mistakes on the boards. Right. So from that point of view, I'm valuable. But other than that, you know, whereas like with Supernova Scholars, I know a lot about a lot in our business, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can help those kids in an amazing way, and I can coach the team that they're going to go on so that they don't screw up the relationship and have more turnover among our diverse population.
Yeah.
So I can fix the problem and therefore be of use to society.
Yeah.
So think about
one of the things that I'm like you, I gets charged with young people. And so even with my community service I do with Rotary, which is, you know what Rotary is. It's an international service organization. So one of the things I've done years ago, I started this Interact program, which is a junior Rotary program for our high school students in our area. I love that. We engage every year. We do this 3-on-3 basketball tournament. And I kid them. I said, this is the highlight. And they get to, we get to bring one old man team and Dave comes along with me. We play with the young kids, but just that. And then we just started a next gen for the younger professionals that don't have time to come to a weekly meeting and, you know, but they're for service, not just networking. That happens, but you're there for community service. And it's taken, I love doing that shit. It's just like, I mean, it charges me up. And, you know, seeing just like you're passing on this love of giving of your, to be a giver, not a taker.
Right. You're a natural giver. You're going to get your energy out of giving.
Right.
And so when you're, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about, if I had more time, what could I do with this organization, with this organization, with this, what could I do? Okay. So that you have a plan of what you're going to do when you have the time. I mean, look at our forefathers, right? George Washington. He hated government.
Right.
He hated military service. He wanted to be in his Mount Vernon all the time. He wanted to be a farmer. He wanted to just, no, he had to go fight a war, fight the Indians. Then he comes back and they go, oh, we need you to fight these British, you know, goes, oh shit. Okay. So then he goes and fights the British. And then finally he gets back to Mount Vernon and then goes, I'm done. No, we want you to be president. Okay. Shit, I'll be president. And then finally he gets back to Mount Vernon. Right?
Yeah.
But these, our forefathers didn't just lay down when they were done, right?
Yeah.
Sort of their business got them to the position of being of value to the society.
Right.
So you're really, your biggest legacy is not the one that you're in, but it's the one you're going to.
Good point.
That's your chance to be a founding father.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, maybe Rob, we'll talk through this over the next, you know, because I'm not there yet. But I'm getting close. So, I mean, this, like, these deals, I mean, shit, 4 more years, I'm going to be 70. I mean, but I feel like I'm a very young 66.
Right. I did my, I'm 75. I did my 16 miles this morning. Okay.
There you go. All right. Well, that's
I rode my bike, you know,
but why you're able to be funk. I mean, like, we're all able to do that because, and I think that's why I plugged into Supernova, because it was the mental, the physical, the spiritual, all that tied together. And I resonated with that. But, you know, having that physical part is so critical. And I think the last 2 years with COVID showed the people that are in the best shape, and if you can deal with it, it's not going to be, you know, so
here's the thing,
I'm a believer, Rick, of all of those pieces.
When you do something like what you're talking about, your passion's going to come out. You're going to move the chemistry of others. And by the way, you're going to meet people that are bigger than any people you've ever met.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And that's going to be good for Dave and good for your business.
Yeah.
See, because when you get involved in a community thing, you get board members, you move the needle, you help people. All of a sudden people go, whoa, they start to notice.
So that's why there is something about, you know, having a tie to UBS, even though, you know, the way I monetize this is by getting out. And so we have to, you know, we're just.
You'll never lose that hunger for the hunt.
Yeah.
You'll always have it. I have it. I go to board meetings and I'm sitting next to this person, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, they're a billionaire.
Well, that would be pretty cool. So that's, I guess, an internal challenge that, you know, with Dave and I, the team, you know, to talk about and to plan. But I love it. You know, I love that graduation. It's not retirement, because I'm never going to stop. like you. I mean, you're hardwired. You cannot just sit and play golf all day and play tennis or whatever. But like you said, you already did your workout, and that's your ritual.
Right.
So last one, and I know I got to run too. I have another jump. But I know, like you talk about with Supernova, is setting rituals. So we don't think about it. It's not a habit. It's a ritual. So one of my rituals, and I share this now with like Clark, and because we're together and doing things, and they know. So it is a morning. I have time that I set aside before I do anything, Rob, before I open up a news or see anything. It's prayer and meditation.
Right.
And I have a routine that I do prayer based on the daily gospels, but then I have other certain like motivational things I read. And then I meditate. There's it's called Headspace. Anyway, it's just an app that walks you through, but it gets you. So I've got Clark meditating. I've got Sam meditating. We're all, you know, but Sam, Clark, and I were talking about how we feed off each other. I'm learning things from them. It's like the mastermind. We talked about that one time. We each have that. And that's like one of these special relationships. That is just, it's more than just, you know, what's the market doing today?
You're doing what you're caring for is you're caring for them as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, you don't take on a client and care for their finances. You take on a client and you care for their family.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's why I think I resonated with this, Supernova immediately, because it just wasn't how to grow your business, but doing it in a way that taking care of yourself, taking care of others, being a giver, all those things. It was natural. I mean, that's what I said. Holy shit, it clicks. And this is what I was looking for. It's more than just the financials or the numbers and everything else like that. And Dave hears, because we when we talk about, like you said, sometimes these clients are talking about old stories from when they just started 25 or 30 years ago. And it's like, there's something there, which is pretty cool.
Rick, you're in a unique position to change the world. Somebody told me, I have a friend who's very spiritual, and I met with him and I spent time. I'm coaching him, right? And I said, well, you know, a lot of people don't think that one person can change the world. He said, well, Jesus Christ only had 12 apostles, you know.
Yeah.
Think about it, right?
Yeah.
You can change the world. You can.
Yeah. But you the key is to then we have fun doing it, Rob. That's the other part.
Well, that's it. You know, we're not HR directors, thank God.
I know. So
I mean, and we make more money than they do.
I know.
Well,
oh, God.
Rob, the worst example, and I have kids in the school district, the superintendent of school districts, I have sat in board meetings and all this other stuff. I could not imagine taking the shit that they have to take for the amount of money that get paid. And I said, you couldn't pay me $5 million a year to take that job. And these poor guys or gals get paid, you know, 100 grand, 150 grand a year. And if parents and board yelling and screaming, I'm calling them names. I'm like, this is incredible. So again, there are certain jobs certainly that we look at and say, yeah, they just don't pay you enough for that.
No, you cannot get, we choose our, just think about it. You choose your clients. They don't choose the parents.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
So anyway.
That's Marcia getting breakfast.
Hi, Marcia.
Good morning.
We're stuck with renovations. So we're
right. Our renovations for we're in a guest house, and our renovation for our main house was supposed to be done by the time we got back to Florida, and it's about halfway.
Yeah, COVID delays, whatever.
Right. So we're living like our guests live, which isn't bad.
Hey, enjoy.
Well, now we know.
Could be worse.
Now we know.
Could be worse.
We know. We fixed the TV. There were a few things that needed a little bit of attention.
So there you go. You took care of it. So yeah. The bottom line is, we're gonna jump, but it's great, you know, gratitude. And that's one thing I try to practice every day. And like, we are grateful that the position that we are in to be able to do what we do, help others, but at the same time, make a difference.
All right. Remember Project Gratitude, which was thanking our clients for the introductions that they gave us. If you haven't bothered to do that, go ahead and do it, because it will get you introductions to others. Remember, it was, aha, oh yeah, I've got somebody else for you. When you put those down, the names and dates of when they opened their accounts and who they were referred by, you put down, and then just part of your regular agenda is thanking them for the introduction, as well as thanking the client for opening the relationship. And you get a chance to do that every year forever. And every time you do it, it's gratitude, sincere gratitude, but at the same time reminds them, oh yeah, I've got another guy for Rick.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's a good one. We'll leave on that one.
Project Gratitude.
I will talk to Emily about this other person. Tell them you'd be willing to do an intro call with them.
Okay. Happy to do it. Happy. Awesome. Thank you. All right.
I'll let you know about this.
Thanks, Rob.
Hopefully we can pull it off.
Yay. Thank you. You're
All right.
With much gratitude.
Yeah. See you guys.
All right, guys. See you, Rob. Thank you.
Bye, Dave.